2021 is at the epicenter.
That pivotal moment in the history of this industry.
How much THC does it have in it?
It's not even an ensemble, it's a symphony. 500 compounds?
I specifically moved to California to be a cannabis.
This industry's really bad.
You want to show or not?
Yeah.
And now it's time for the greatest podcast in the world, the 421 Show, with your favorite hosts, Aaron Silverman and Danny Keith. Gentlemen, your mics are hot.
All right, we're back. Sweet. Another episode of 421, live on location here at New West Summit 5 in San Francisco. We are here with Joanna, and she has a cool podcast called Casually Baked. Great
That's
to
right.
meet you. Great to have you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. And then obviously my partner in crime, Dana Keith. Yep. And we're just going to freestyle this conversation. So you got a cool story. And we actually have quite a bit in common as we talked about when we got to know each other.
Yeah.
Both from Texas. You're from a much smaller part of it, to be fair.
Yes, absolutely.
You found your way into cannabis. Got yourself a podcast. Casually Baked. What's it about?
Well, so I got to California and I was trying to figure out, okay, where's the hole in the market? Where can I add
in
value
in the cannabis market?
Okay. I specifically moved to California to be in cannabis.
Gotcha.
I had just returned from living in Bologna, Italy, where I was trying to figure out how could I get paid to be myself?
Yeah.
And while
Sounds
I was high
very,
meditating,
very
I thought.
That's very millennial.
Except I'm a Gen Xer. I'm 43.
Really?
I'm more enlightened than
So the video game opportunity is out the window because we missed that chance, right?
We
like
it.
To get paid to do what we do.
Yeah.
Oh,
so podcasting.
So this is it. This was me getting paid to be myself, getting to run my mouth and tell people about how I live a casually baked lifestyle, how I'm functionally high. And it's home base for the can of curious. So if I'm curious about it, we're fucking talking about it on the show.
Sure.
So I was just up in Humboldt for Harvest. And so I've just done two really educational shows about legalization and the metric system and how that's affecting our growers. But then I'm also getting to show these other people what it's like to live this lifestyle and this back to the land approach to living and what sun-grown cannabis looks like and how it's cared for. So then when they go shopping, now they're like, I know some shit and I can make better decisions on how I buy cannabis.
When you say back to land, were you just talking with Josh Sweet up in Humboldt by any chance?
No, I was out at Kingsview
Farms.
You know
Josh? Okay.
I was out at Kingsview Farms, and it is in the Palo Verde Appalachian. So, like, right in the heart, I'm about to make a big old vagina sign on your show, so I paused.
Yeah. Okay.
Right in the heart of the Emerald Triangle.
I went ahead and did it for you.
See, that's your job.
Yeah.
That's your job.
Just visuals.
But John Wilhelm, the farmer there, the owner, and he's just done his 30th harvest on the same land.
Wow, that's great soil.
30th.
I mean, 30th.
I'd be interested to know how he turns that over, you know, the
soil
itself.
Yeah.
Well.
Because you don't want to, you know, they have that problem with food. They have to, like, let a field go fallow for a period of time and then they can go back. Is that the same case with cannabis?
Well, but if you're practicing regenerative farming, and you're constantly running through the cycle as it's supposed to be done, your soil is always fertile. And that's what those guys have been doing up there.
Important fact. Fertile soil.
Yeah, fertile soil. Yeah, it's probably always good. You guys did a podcast together. Cannabis Karaoke?
Yes.
Oh, yeah?
Well, when was that?
Well, she's been doing podcasts for quite some time.
Right.
What podcast number are you on? 197,000?
I just released episode 108 of Casually Baked, the
podcast.
That's
a lot of podcasts, dude. I'm on, like, number 17. And, like, every week I'm like, I got to do another one.
Yeah.
It's really not that easy. I mean,
really
so you
not.
Have to give it up. Like, 108, that's...
Thank
it
you.
Is on a list of things not easy or keeping your hair nice. You wear a hat.
I do.
Doing podcasts.
Yeah.
Raising money in this industry.
Selling weed.
I was two for three, first two. You're the last.
I have hard stuff to do as well,
yeah.
guys.
Right.
I try to act like I don't have hard
gotta,
stuff to
you
do.
Know, as an executive, I have to sign papers and
this
things.
Wrist is, I got
important
sign
things
lots
to do.
Things.
I'm very busy sometimes.
But we did do a podcast. She inspired me to do one. You know, it's like one of those things where if you're not talking about yourself or using that element. I mean, podcasts have been around forever, but like right now they're really popular in the cannabis space. And being, you know, watching her be a thought leader and doing what she was doing, I was like, will you come on my podcast? And I think you were number one, like, technically.
Yeah.
Patrick, one of my employees did a dry run with me, but she was like my literal first in office.
So she was your first?
My first in studio guest. She broke me in.
Oh, awesome.
And I was in studio. I heard you got to be in the studio.
I went in studios. That's the only way I like to do it. Not that I won't do it.
And we didn't know each other, though, at all.
We did not. We just hit it off.
We did in a weird way.
And we ordered best friend necklaces.
Yes.
Aww. Yeah, it was
weird. We did the blood brother thing. We have a handshake.
That's right.
God, I mean,
we had to do post edit
because
we talked about really deep shit. I know.
We don't talk for 2 months.
And I fall in love with somebody.
This industry's moving fast. It's like dog years. You gotta.
It happened by accident. To be perfectly honest, we were going up. I came up to just talk to him one time, and then we did a little on set, and then we did another one, and then it was like, there's some chemistry here.
Yeah. That's why it went dark on me, I swear.
And it's like, I was like, I can't tell her that I'm with somebody else. I had to just let it ride. But here we are. Now we are. We brought you in.
Well, thank you, because chemistry is important.
We got a polyamorous relationship now in our podcast.
Hey, I think a good JoJo sandwich is always a healthy thing.
JoJo's. They make a cookie called the JoJo.
No, oh, for sure. And I'm sure our wives would totally appreciate that as well.
Hey, I mean,
it's a virtual sandwich.
This isn't realsies, y'all. Okay.
Yeah,
but cannabis is, and we're all on it.
That's right. Casually.
So we had a good podcast to wrap that up, and now we're here talking and
So here's the thing. I want to go back to something you said.
Sure.
So you're talking about you really prefer to be in studio with someone because of the chemistry.
Yeah.
And I'm at a point now with the podcast that I can tell people, well, next time you're in Oakland, give me a call. Or if I'm in your city, let's talk. Because I really lose so much doing a phone interview. Therefore, I feel like my audience does too.
Well, you lose authenticity. I feel like on the phone, I can be whoever I want. Like, I don't know why. I just feel like you can do whatever. And so can the other person.
I'm lazy. I like phoners.
Hey, noted.
You know?
I like phoners.
Yeah. Like, you know, I don't know whether you're at a strip club or on an airplane, you can say, you know, I do mergers and acquisitions, I do whatever. But you get on a phone call on a podcast, you can say things different. You can hang up the call if you don't like it. There's a lot of things.
Yeah, you can exit stage right, I guess.
Yeah.
I haven't had that happen yet, but
oh my gosh.
I'll have to keep that in mind. Not everybody can make it in.
Yeah.
It's a similar concept to where I like to hug people that I do business with instead of shake their hands, because I feel like people are less likely to be dicks to me if they're hugging me afterwards.
Yeah, that's true.
Nowadays, it's
kind of my wife's a hugger. She hugs everybody.
She hugged me.
I bro hug, but
I full on mean it hug.
Is it weird? Like, I've had people do the hug thrust. That's not good.
Oh.
No, yeah.
Did you thrust back?
It's like a magnet.
Yeah, you know, I don't. Yeah, not these days.
Well, I mean, but like, what?
You want to hug thrust hug?
No, of course not. I have no idea. Do not come thrust hug me. I'm not asking for the thrust hug, okay?
Hey, what was getting cannabis like in a town with 500 people?
Oh, I didn't. I was such a good girl.
Oh, that you? Okay.
Yeah. No, I played. Well, I ran cross country, and then
of course
it was
you
basketball.
Did. That was called going to the store.
And I was in band. Well, yeah, it was like
70 miles.
Well, it was 15 miles to a convenient-ish store, and 70 miles for proper groceries. Yeah, so no.
Wow. She didn't really know what you're getting, because there wasn't like the, I got the munchies. Let's run out. That's why she couldn't smoke cannabis.
Well, I just was
if she
too
smoked
busy.
Some weed, she'd have been like living. She'd been camping in front of the grocery store.
Yeah, I had access to it. I just didn't want to do it. Like I was in the band.
Can you imagine being the dealer in a town of 500 people?
You're probably
that
pretty
is
busy.
Some sketchy shit.
You're busy.
Well, yeah. You're the I only think guy. Probably or girl. The dealer for a whole county.
Yeah.
You know, you probably.
Where was this again? Texas.
Yeah. Not
probably
just Texas,
looking like
though.
Hay a little bit, you know what I mean? Like it's.
I mean, like I said, panhandle. I didn't smoke it. I don't know, but I was.
It's
playing
the kind of weed you get in a bag, like
all the other shit.
For $50, you get a garbage bag.
Oh no, it's a brick. So once I got to Dallas, then I was like part of the. I started. I was dating a dealer at one point and was like.
Smart move.
Okay. Like somebody's gonna hurt themselves if you keep trying to chip that. Weed off with a kitchen knife, like you know.
Like how spoiled are we out here?
Like, very.
It would be a brick, and it's like chipping away.
We're very spoiled. I mean, like, even, you know, just our proximity to the Emerald Triangle, it supersedes anything you get anywhere else. Like, you're like, okay, you know? When you're used to that, when, like, I come from Santa Cruz, like, we've been, the weed thing has been ingrained in us since I can remember. Right. We've been smoking, like, the chronic. We have amazing weed in our area.
Bragger.
Not so much in other places. Was that?
I said bragger.
Well, I'm just saying, like, when you run into someplace else, like, hey, you want to smoke some weed? And out comes a joint that looks like a very small pencil. You're all,
but what is that?
Like, let me show you what a joint looks like. And you pull out the big
tampon.
Yeah, you pull out a, whoa.
That's what I call, that's a good joint. So, oh, sorry. I mean, you know, are we doing a show or not?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you're not comfortable with the word tampon.
No, it's just funny that that was the choice.
You just introduce people. Like, I did a show in Vegas with some people that were in the space.
What a joint looks like.
And they've never really smoked. We smoked a joint walking down Las Vegas Boulevard, and they were just slightly, you know, exhilarated, but at the same time petrified because they thought that, you know, we shouldn't have done it. But
no, it's,
you know, he's like, I've never seen a joint that big before, and I mean, those are weird things to say, obviously, but they were just so pumped to, like, see real weed.
Oh well, the first time I had a farmer rolled joint, I was like, okay, I would smoke that joint every day.
Yeah.
That joint is a different experience.
So I kind of understand why you didn't smoke weed in the early days. You'd probably be dead. It's so bad. Oh, smoking twigs and sticks. And
but it was also
stuff that was just smuggled in gas tanks.
But you have to remember, like, we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have, you know, the internet. We didn't have all of these distractions. We were kids in a small town playing sports. Like, you're doing with your kids right now, man. It's fucking sports all the time.
I found weed at, like, 13, so I was, like, nonstop.
I don't know. Yeah. I was a goody two-shoes. I didn't consume until I quit playing college basketball. I was 20.
So you were
Where'd you play college basketball?
Oh, Lord.
You played college basketball?
For 2 years before I quit and gave myself full time to broadcasting.
Yeah, well, I think it's good that you did.
Paid off.
I mean, how's that
working
out?
Look at me now.
Yeah, how's it working?
Mama would be proud.
So is this your first New West, or have you been a New West before?
Oh, no, this is my fourth New West.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. But what do you think about how it's grown and evolved over the last 4 or 5 years?
Well, I think it's just interesting what's happening in general. I mean, I think the event in size has gotten smaller, but the things that I take away from the conference are epic. I mean, they're bigger than the things. Like, I just came back from the Future of Cannabis, of Consumer Cannabis North America in Toronto. And I'm thinking, these people are going to blow my fucking mind with information.
Not so much?
No. No, they
didn't. No, that's true. This is, we've talked about this. This is really good graduate level content and curriculum. There's not a lot of the 101 crap. It's not a lot of recycled stuff. Everybody here is, you know, a little bit more sophisticated, has a little bit more to offer from a panel perspective.
Maybe been in the game a little bit.
Yeah. Well, there's some real experience. I mean, they've made real investments. They've, you know, had a real business, or they've, you know, at least had, you know, some failures and successes. You know,
yeah,
they can
speak
to those things.
And, you know, and these people at that conference did too. But what I think is happening is that people just get really lazy.
Yeah.
They get on the speaker circuit. They're like, oh, I get to go to another conference in Toronto, or I'll do this or I'll do that. And they're recycling material, and they're not really pushing themselves. Like, you know, Dr. Monica Villalpando, I can brag on her. She's my bestie in the cannabis space. And she has a formulation company, Villalpando LLC, and she's doing research. She's finding, you know, she sees a problem in the space, or sees, like, this vaping issue. You know, she's pushing for research and going out and looking for that information and that data and bringing it back and sharing it on Podcast 106. Let's talk vaping. Yeah. So, you know, it's things like that that I want to see when I go to a conference. Those are the people I want to see that you're putting on stage. And so I think this conference does a better job of getting those kinds of people on stage.
Right.
But, you know, this year I haven't seen them yet, so I'm not judging anyone. But I have seen quite a few celebrities on the roster. And I'm like, okay.
How do you feel about that?
I mean, if they are educated and they know their shit, then let's talk about it. But if you're just going to tell me that, like, having a face behind a brand and, you know, how that's important, well, no shit. You know, we know that.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, if you have something to offer to the conversation, I hope that, you know, that you bring that. But
well, how do you feel about them? What if they are just using some star power to leverage a brand into, you know, into a customer base that would like and trust it because that person's behind it? For example, I mean, you know, maybe Willie Nelson and Tommy Chong, maybe those are bad examples because they've actually been.
Well, they've actually
done. Yeah, they've got street cred. Yeah, they're exactly. Time. That's those are the people I want to see on, you know, doing this because it's like, yes, that
so
is
what
their
about
fucking
the like
life.
The Whoopi Goldbergs or the Ricky Lakes or and I know they're not here, but they're in
well,
another
I mean,
they've
and
come
I don't know.
Yeah,
they have come
I mean.
Here before. You know, it's I was telling my communications coordinator today, I was like, when you're filtering through who's going to come to my inbox from our Ask At account, I want you to do 5 minutes of homework for me. Look them up, go to their About Us page, and I want you to read their story. And if they tell me in their statement that we've got a team of experts who are, you know, great in their field and blah, 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 and you're not telling me a real story about a real person and calling out real humans that work for your organization or that have inspired you to do this or, you know, this was happening and cannabis was introduced into my life and this has happened and now I've created this amazing product. Otherwise, you're just another CBD company.
Right.
And there's a shit ton of those. So for me, like, if you really want to break through and you want to do something, like, you've got to have some passion and some drive and some meaning, and you have better have a very good reason for why I should buy your product.
Who's someone you want to interview on your show?
Gosh, I would love to have a conversation with Joe Rogan about a lot of things, but
he's on that DMT trip though. I don't know if you know. I don't even know if he smokes weed anymore.
So this is, but this is
smoking
why I want to
toad with Tyson.
But this is one of the reasons I want to talk to
the
him.
Gateway
is because I am on my own little journey. Like cannabis, I'm at a point where I'm experimenting with setting cannabis aside for a large part of my day and reserving it for night. And excuse me, I have a porcupine in my throat. And microdosing mushrooms during the day to see how that works with my memory function, because I have the gene for short-term memory loss. So when I smoke cannabis and I'm writing and working or I'm having to interview somebody or be, you know, think on my feet, I mean, I can fuck my shit up. I mean, the other night I was singing happy birthday to a guy that I unfortunately was on a date with and I forgot his fucking name.
I think that's pretty normal. Hard drive's full.
Yeah, that's true.
Hard drive's full.
So,
or it's not interesting.
But here's the thing, though. I want to do an experiment where I see if I microdose psilocybin, will it still give me the same benefits of easing my anxiety and my OCD and all of these things, but not take that memory piece away from me? So I'd like to
talk. Is that working for you?
It's not. Like, those are things you get to do. Like, what she just described as things you get to do when you don't have kids.
Yes, yes. Like, okay.
Can't be all daddy's dosing today, so yeah. We're gonna.
Well,
that's a good. You know, the whole mushroom push is happening. Yeah. I mean, it's like Colorado, or no, Oregon, it's legal. I think Colorado, it's legal.
Well, Oakland, I mean, Oakland.
Oakland,
I mean, that's
it's legal.
And so that's the thing. I'm not. I want to do like a proper scientific experiment. You know,
yourself?
I have a licensed therapist who's been doing studies with people with psilocybin. I'm going to bring her into this. I've shared the highlights of the experiment and want Dr. V to help me put it together so that I am doing, you know, where I'm titrating and seeing where my sweet spot is and like how that works. And because I want to be able to talk about it and people take me seriously and not just roll my eyes that I'm just some, you know, other person that likes to trip during the middle of the day. Because the point of microdosing is that it's just at that threshold where you feel that like lightness of being and that ease and that relief without feeling high. Mm.
You have to kind of find your dose?
Yes, and yes, you absolutely do. But we haven't had the opportunity to figure that up.
Psilocybin stores?
Yeah. Psilocybin, sure. Well,
stores?
No, not. I mean, it's just been decriminalized. So, yeah. But I think you're going to start seeing a lot more psilocybin pills for sale in Oakland. Like right now, you have to know somebody.
Still, yeah.
That and I want. And that's the other reason I want a scientist involved is so that I know that each of these tablets are dosed the exact amount.
You want a COA, basically. You want to know where its origin is.
Yes.
And you know, just to be just a little story, had a business partner who decided to microdose every day. To say he's not a business partner anymore, may have went on a different path.
But you're going down that road.
Be careful what mind you open.
Ram Dass, that was mushrooms. Well, sure. He says mushrooms are my friends. Yeah. Like, you know, and
yeah, it can be.
Yeah.
I'm digging it. So I just like to talk to people that are like on that edge of wellness and health and pushing the limits of what the constructs of normal life are.
Yeah.
And being like, you know, I dig plant medicine and I'm all in it. I'm all about it.
I like the holding it back. I do that sometimes where I'll wait till the end of the day to smoke. Because if I maintenance smoke all day, then I don't really have the same, it's just like a routine, right? Yeah. But if I wait to take a bong hit all day, maybe I'll smoke a joint, maybe I'll vape a little bit, but I'm not doing bong hits in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
It definitely has more impact.
Yeah,
that's one of the only, I mean, staying casually baked on a daily basis, you kind of miss out on being able to ever get high, really.
Yeah.
Like, it's very rare. I mean, you know, I don't remember last time I really got, like, high school high, if you know what I mean.
For that. Dabbing.
Dabbing was cool because it was something I could do real quick, too, in my garage.
Well, those Puffcos now are crazy.
Yeah.
That's what I have.
Yeah, you know, a little Puffco dabber, you're like, boop, little dab, and dab-a-do-ya.
Well, and so that's what I got this cough, and then I was like, okay, I can't smoke weed anymore. So I was vaporizing the flower, and then I'm still coughing. So then I was like, okay, I'll just dab with the Puffco Peak. And now I had to eat edibles today, and I feel all fucking weird anyway. I hope I don't sound weird.
No, you're good.
But yeah, it's like, it's such a different high when you've been used to just inhaling. And now all of a sudden I've ingested and now it's gone through that second.
I think honestly we're the next big move in cannabis is going to be like not necessarily tincture or edible driven, but like I have a friend who's working on some nanotechnology where they can actually, and then like we talked earlier about matching genes up to certain things. You know, I think there's going to be some science that's going to jump in. It's going to take that last little batch of people that are afraid to smoke a joint or afraid to get high or, you know what I mean? It's like, I'll give a quick story. My mom's been on opiates almost my whole life, you know? Changed doctors, new doctors, like, you're fucking done. You're not getting any more opiates. My mom's like, what? 40 years of taking them. What do I do? And it definitely changes you as a person when you're on them.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, she's eating edibles. You know what I mean? And she's like, I would have never done it before, but I had to.
Oh my God.
I had to do something. And so I think like you're gonna get those people, especially as we ease out of this pill generation of taking the pill for everything. I mean, God, I hope all those commercials go away about bleeding out of your ass when you take a pill to stop something else, but then you take another pill to stop that. You
and
know?
The edibles are helping.
The edibles are helping her.
Happy, good.
Yeah, and she sounds lucid, and like it was really shocking, because after 40 years of dealing with somebody that's been on those, they're all you never know what you're getting. I was like, wow, you're really clear-headed right now. It's a yeah, I'm doing edibles. And this is somebody that was like, would
did
never.
Did you hear that?
Like, I'm not touching that.
I'm not touching it. I just want to make sure everyone heard that.
What's that?
I mean, that she was clear-headed using cannabis versus
nice,
opioids,
clear-headed. Like, you know, I felt like, oh, I got somebody there. Not like the drugged out version.
Yeah. That person, because she was really connecting with you for the first time, because opioids just put a mask over everything. Yeah. And it's like, you're with the person, but you're never really with them.
It's straight heroin. I mean, I'm not, you know, it is what it is.
All right, I'm going to ask one last question. Then I know we're doing another round of this tomorrow, probably a little bit different style.
Okay.
But, I'm in charge tomorrow.
Yes. the whole thing is getting
handed over.
Is there
a safe word?
Pineapple.
Dude, that's my safe word.
How did I know
I don't know. That's weird.
I just thought of something
that's
really
weird,
uncomfortable.
That's weird, like when you put your, never mind, I'm not.
Yeah, let's not. Hey, this was awesome. All right, so I'm just going to call this part one of the infusion of casually baked and 421.
How's that?
Part one. We'll pick up part two tomorrow. I know you're going to be around. Just keep talking with us and stuff. And we will be back with more episodes of 421 and casually baked. here live at New West Summit 5.
And if you are a true pot nerd, you understand my shirt. All right. Yes.